At 6:20, this is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. Family and friends say Christian Riley Garcia, one of the students killed by a gunman last Friday at Santa Fe High School, displayed bravery far beyond his years. Mourners gathered today near Houston for his funeral. The 15-year-old had been eager to join the military. Friends say Garcia used his body as a barricade against a closet door in a classroom to keep the shooter from entering. Garcia was among 8 students and 2 teachers who died. This week's primary runoffs in Texas drew fewer than 1 million people to the polls. That's according to the Texas Election Source. Just 10 states hold primary runoff elections. UT Austin professor Sherry Greenberg talked with Texas Standard host David Brown about low voter turnout.
I think about turnout in general in the United States, and it's very unfortunate. The United States has very low voter turnout across the United States when we are compared to most other developed countries. And then, of course, when you look not just at the United States, but at the state of Texas, it pains me to say that Texas, year after year, is one of the lowest states as far as turnout. We typically rank in the bottom 5, and in fact, during the last presidential election, again, vote, we were ranked in the bottom 5 for the 3rd consecutive presidential election.
What is going on?
I think that there are multiple reasons for this. And when you were talking about the statistics in the runoff that we just had, one of the things that comes to mind is gerrymandering. Now, this is not unique. We see gerrymandering across the United States. And with that, I mean when you draw districts for people to run in, they're drawn by the legislature, and they are typically drawn to protect incumbents and to protect the party in power. And so that does, I believe, depress runoff, particularly in states that are so lopsided. If you feel that, for instance, only the Democrats can win or only the Republicans can win, then that's going to depress voter turnout. And we've seen that historically. So I think that that is one issue. Another issue is the demographics of Texas. We are a very young state as far as population, and we are a state with many immigrants. So that's another factor. And in fact, a third of the state's Hispanic population isn't a voting age. And we also see that voters over 65 in Texas are much more likely to vote.
What do the other states do? How do they deal with this? And maybe, I mean, should we be doing something different?
Well, there are various ways that states deal with it. California is an interesting one because people don't even run in primaries as far as by party. You run and the top 2 would then be in a runoff. And this is something that professors and people in the media and people in the legislature have been grappling with for decades here in Texas. One issue that comes up is, are there too many elections? Because we have a lot of elections at the local levels, too. Let's not forget that. You have elections for your school board. You can have elections for your water district, special elections where you have local bonds. So one thing that legislators have tried to do over the years is to reduce the number of election dates. This issue that you're getting at with the primaries, is it simply a matter of voter fatigue? But I think it's more complicated than that. I think gerrymandering is a huge issue. And the fact that so many races and districts are not seen as competitive, and I think that needs to be fixed. And of course, education.
That was UT Austin professor Sherry Greenberg talking with Texas Standard's David Brown. For veterans, coming home after a tour overseas can be challenging. This was true for Army Major Jazz Booth, who was homeless with her son after being hit with the double blow of Hurricane Katrina and a cancer diagnosis. While thousands of female veterans find themselves without permanent housing, Booth realized there were no programs that could help. Today on Think, she talked with Chris Boyd about the struggles of being a homeless single mom.
We will hide in secrecy because we don't want to lose our kids. And if you look at the typical person who, you know, panhandles, it's usually a man, regardless of his age. I've seen women here and there, but you've never seen a woman with a child. And because if we're out there with our child, somebody's going to report for health and welfare reasons, and we're going to lose our kids. Even if you go to social services and say, I'm homeless, and if you told them you were living in your car, you would lose your kids. So it's like they put us between a rock and a hard place, and where we really can't say how bad we are because nobody wants to lose their kid. We've already had to be separated from our children who are serving in combat zones, and now we have to come back and enforce being separated on American soil.
Major Jazz Booth is featured in the new Independent Lens documentary, Served Like a Girl. It airs Monday night at 9 on KERA-TV. This episode of Think Rares tonight at 9, and you could subscribe to the podcast at think.kera.org. Thousands of veterans attend UT Arlington. Many deal with disabilities and lingering trauma. Could they benefit from art therapy? Amanda Alexander, an associate professor in art education, conducted research to find out. In our weekly State of the Arts conversation, KERA's Ann Bothwell talked with Alexander about what she learned.
You embarked on this project about art therapy and veterans, but you're not an art therapist. How did you come to it?
So I consider myself an art educator who does community-based research. And what that means is basically bringing people together to collaborate on projects to help benefit or support communities and research the process of what that looks like. I was working with students who were very interested in art therapy, and they piqued my interest in it even more. A lot of my students are veterans, so they were asking me questions about it. So that sort of got me into it. And then noticing that there were no accredited programs in art therapy in Texas at any university, I felt there was a hole there, a gap that needed to be filled.
You have a fairly large population of veterans at UT Arlington, right?
Yeah, we have almost 5,000 veterans enrolled. I think it's one of the highest populations of veterans at universities in Texas.
What are some of the issues that these veterans were maybe wanting to work on in art therapy?
So I think for a lot of veterans, it's hard for them to speak about their trauma or disability. So making art, it's a different avenue of being able to release and relax. You kind of enter a meditative state when you make art. And for these folks, I think it's pretty perfect. You know, it calms them.
You wanted to do research on this, but first you needed to come up with a program to research,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah. So I reached out to the Art Station in Fort Worth, which is a nonprofit art therapy organization and one of the only ones in the area. And they've been there for over 30 years. So they were the ones who actually led and engaged the participants in the art making.
Part of your research was measuring the mood states mm-hmm. of the people who participated in the therapy classes, both before the class and after the class. And you found that the art therapy exercises seemed to correlate with a calmer mood?
The profile of mood states measures mood disturbance. So it measures things like anxiety, depression, anger. Basically, when you come in, you take this survey, and then when you make the art, you take the survey again. So it shows whether or not some of those anger, hostility, depression have changed, right? And what I found was that for most of the participants, it had relaxed or calmed them. There was one workshop that we involved technology, and that was the only one. And I need to collect more data to find out really what's going on there. But it was the one that was basically equal. The pre and post-test mood state was equal from beginning to end. But the other showed a mood disturbance had reduced in the participants.
Technology can challenge my mood some days.
Yes. The other thing that I learned was that through the qualitative connection, there's a story here. Not just collection of data, but real life testimonial stories of people saying, you know, I was in the military 30 years ago and I had this trauma and it took me a long time to come to terms with this trauma. And through making art, it has really helped me heal. I heard that multiple times from multiple participants.
You mentioned that there are no degree programs for art therapy at Texas universities. Are you trying to make the case to change that?
Yes. At UTA, part of what I'm trying to do is exactly what you mentioned, assess the situation. Is this something that's worthwhile to pursue and maybe start a degree there or at least a certificate in art therapy? I have several students who are taking the required classes in psychology so that they can go on to get a master's in art therapy at another university. And they would have to go out of state to get that master's degree.
Amanda Alexander, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Partly cloudy skies in store for us tonight. There's a chance for storms this evening with a low around 75. At 6:30, this is KERA News.